On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you, carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord.
As Christian disciples, we are called to be thankful because we have been blessed in so many ways. But let's be frank. It's been difficult to have gratitude in our hearts over this past year and a half. Between the suspension of public liturgies, the cancellation of parish events, it's especially hard as members of the body of Christ to have much gratitude in our hearts. So let me take a moment and share some reasons for us to be thankful. A few weeks ago, a family brought a young child to this font to be baptized. Now, that baptism had to be rescheduled 3 times. First, when the family came down with COVID, and then just days before the second time, they had to reschedule because the godparents came down with it. But there was great joy in this church when this child was brought forward and through the waters of baptism became an adopted son of our Heavenly Father. Great joy in understanding that now he had been offered the gift of eternal life, that he was now a member of Christ's body, the church, most especially this body here at Our Lady. That was something to be thankful. At this very spot, back in September, a young couple turned and looked to one another and promised to love, honor, and cherish each other for the rest of their lives. Now, this wedding was supposed to have happened in May, but because of the restrictions in place, they ended up postponing it. Now, this couple could have went to the Justice of the Peace and gotten legally married, but they desired something. They desired to have a sacramental marriage. They desired for Jesus to witness the commitment they made to one another, and they desired to have Jesus promise them his assistance, his love, and even his mercy for them to make good on those vows that they made to one another. The joy in this church that finally they were able to share that commitment and finally become a Christian married couple that day. That is reason to be thankful. Last October, Archbishop Thompson stood at this very spot. He first prayed the prayer of consecration over the gathered youth that were here. And then one by one, those youth came forward. And he made the sign of the cross with the sacred chrism on their forehead. "Be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit," he said to them. And at that very moment, the Holy Spirit, who had taken up residence in their hearts, showered them with gifts, gifts such as strength and courage and understanding and wisdom and reverence and awe and wonder in God's presence, equipping them to be full members of Christ's body, the church, but most especially equipping them to be witnesses to the world of the love that their Savior Jesus Christ has shown upon them. There was great joy in the church that day. It was a reason to be thankful. About a month ago, someone came to me after Mass, and they asked me for the anointing of the sick. They had a surgery coming up that week. And so I went to the back, got my holy oils out, and said the prayers, and anointed them with the holy oil. A few weeks later, I received a thank you card in the mail thanking me because everything had gone well and they were fast on their road to recovery. What does the anointing of the sick promise that person? Well, it promised them the grace of the sacrament to heal their soul. You know, God created us to be human, body and soul. And if the soul is sick, the body will feel it as well. And so in that sacrament, the grace given to them healed their souls so they could marshal their physical resources to continue their recovery. This is also the grace given when someone is dealing with a chronic illness. And it's also the grace given when I am called to the bedside of someone who is entering the last stages of their life. Most of the time, that person is unresponsive and unconscious. And yet, I say the same prayers. I anoint them with the same oil. And I know it makes a difference to them. The majority of the time, it's only within hours after that visit that they peacefully move on from this life to the eternal life in heaven. The peace, the strength, and the healing that the anointing of the sick gives to people is a reason to be thankful. Two months ago at the Archabbey Church of St. Meinrad, Archbishop Thompson laid his hands individually on each group, on a group of men that came forward, and made them deacons of the Catholic Church. One of these men is sitting to my right. Matthew Peroni, seminarian, became Deacon Matthew Peroni that day. And now, as an ordained minister of the church, he was endowed with the gifts of the Spirit to serve as Jesus served. But that very same day, in the Basilica in South Bend, a son of the parish, at the time Deacon Jeff Mooney, knelt in front of a different bishop, and through the imposition of hands, he became a priest of the Roman Catholic Church. And through the ministry of these two men, the sacraments continued to be offered to the people of God, following the example of Jesus, our Savior, who came to serve, not to be served. The grace that flowed into these men, ordering them to ordain ministry, is another reason to be thankful. This weekend, we commemorate Corpus Christi, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We gather together in this church to celebrate the Eucharist. On this very altar, bread and wine will become Christ's body and blood. He will truly be present to us. It is a miracle beyond all. But it's not the only miracle that occurs at every celebration of the Eucharist. Each time the gathered people, members of the body of Christ, are taken to that upper room. We sit amongst those disciples. We watch as our Lord and Savior raises bread and says, "This is my body." And raises a cup to say, "This is my blood." And then we are taken to the foot of the cross. We witness Jesus as he turns to his mother and says, "Here is your son." And turns to the beloved disciple and says, "Here is your mother." And then he breathes his last as he says, "It is finished." Giving up his life for our salvation. He tells us to remember. And we don't just recall. We actively participate in those salvific events every time we celebrate the Eucharist. It is the greatest privilege we have as Catholics. But it is a privilege. And it was a privilege that was taken away from us back when the public celebrations of the liturgies were suspended. Yes, I dutifully came to this church and celebrated the sacraments. Theologically, I knew grace occurred, bread and wine became Jesus. But my friends, it was not the same. This is a parish church. This is a particular body of Christ. It needs you to participate actively in the celebration of the Eucharist. I will admit to you, those were some of the most empty celebrations of the Eucharist I've ever done during my 19 years as a priest. When we finally were able to welcome back people to this church, there was great joy. Sure, there was only maybe half the people we normally would have, but that number slowly grows. I would ask you to consider the first time that you returned to the public celebration of the Eucharist, the first time you felt the joy of gathering together as a family of faith, share that joy with people that you know have not returned. Tell them they are missed. Tell them we love them, and tell them they are welcome to return to the greatest privilege we have as Catholics. The celebration of the Eucharist. My dear friends, Jesus shows us the love he has for us by dying on the cross. We participate in that sacrifice every time we come together for the Eucharist. We then receive the food for the journey through this life, his own body and blood. My dear friends, there is no greater privilege for us than to celebrate the Eucharist. That is something for us to be thankful for.